We're going to talk this morning about Thanksgiving, which is my favorite title for Thanksgiving services. I can't think of a better one, having an attitude of gratitude. And read it with me out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 18. Say with me, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Father in heaven, we love you so much and we give you thanks this morning already. Lord, I just pray that as we look into your word this morning, help us, Lord God, to be even more thankful than we already are. And we'll give you all of the praise, Lord. We give you thanks for all that you've done for us. And we pray in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word, on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And all of God's people said, amen. You sound like a bunch of believers. Go ahead and be seated this morning. Amen. I want to just say this morning, right on the outset of this message in this service, I want to just say that I'm thankful for my twin brother, Percy, who's with us today. And he's just passing through, but he's with us on this Sunday morning. My brother, Percy, would you stand up and give Percy a good hand clap? Would you do that right there? He was at the Home Depot the other day, and some couple came up from our church, a father and a son, and they just, Pastor Perry, how are you doing? How are you doing? And then he goes, I'm not Pastor Perry, I'm his twin brother. And then the little kid goes, no, I don't think so. You're Pastor Perry. Anyway. All right, this week is Thanksgiving week, one of my favorite times of the year, and it marks the beginning of the holiday season that we look forward to so much during this time of the year, time to be together with family and friends and, of course, good food. Amen? The very first Thanksgiving, this is a wonderful depiction of the first Thanksgiving, was celebrated by the pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in 1621, a long time ago, 1621. It only lasted 3 days, but it was attended by some 53 pilgrims and about 90 Native Americans. And it's a beautiful portrait of what took place, possibly took place in that day. In your notes, Thanksgiving, we're talking about Thanksgiving, is having an attitude of gratitude. Say with me this morning, having an attitude of gratitude. Now, that word gratitude defined, it's the quality of being thankful, the readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. In other words, I'm thankful for how I've been blessed, and I also want to be a blessing to others. Gratitude is also defined as thankfulness, appreciation, and gratefulness. How many of you know that we always need to have an attitude of gratitude, all right? On this Thanksgiving, God's desire for you and for me is that we would always have an attitude of gratitude, that we would always be thankful. Not just sometimes, not just on a holiday, but always. And that's why today's message is called Thanksgiving. Not just Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving. It's not just a one-time event that we celebrate once a year. In fact, I heard on the radio the other night, somebody said they should just have 1 day for complaining and the rest for Thanksgiving, all right? We have 1 day for Thanksgiving and there's a lot of complaining goes on. How about just limit your complaining to 1 day and have Thanksgiving the rest of the days? Can I get it loud? Amen. Now, Thanksgiving is the starting point. Part of Thanksgiving, having an attitude of Thanksgiving, is a starting point to Thanksgiving. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why do we bless the name of the Lord? For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. If you're thankful to the Lord this morning, say aloud, amen. Now, why is the question? Why give thanks? Well, because it's God's will for you. It's God's will for us to always be thankful. In fact, the Bible says this, in everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Say it with me. It's the will of God that I be thankful. Now, the second thing here this morning is, when should I give thanks? And the when question is this, in all circumstances, in all circumstances. In fact, you know, this Thanksgiving might be different from last Thanksgiving or whatever. Sometimes, year to year, sometimes everything can kind of be going your way, and then you're going, man, it's easy to be thankful when everything's just going my way. But when things aren't going your way, when life gets to be difficult, you know, it's hard, sometimes harder to give thanks. But the Bible encourages us. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. Say it with me this morning. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In fact, the New Living Translation puts it this way. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, everybody. Your family, my family, all of our families at some point have some challenges going on. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, there's some challenges, and you go, man alive, you know, it's easy to be thankful for when everything's a cakewalk, but when times are kind of tough or you're going through a difficult situation, but the Bible says this, no matter what happens, always be thankful. God, I don't even understand all of this going on, but I can tell you this, I know that you've got a good end in mind, for this is God's will for you. He says, I'm gonna be thankful no matter what happens, all right? Always be thankful. Someone once said that we would be more thankful, and I use this every year, if we'd be more thankful. If we'd be more thankful, if we'd be more thankful, or if we'd be more thoughtful. And when you think about it, there's always, always something to be thankful for. Say with me this morning, there's always, always something to be thankful for. I don't have this whole story down, but there's a preacher that was robbed at gunpoint. And he was talking about how thankful he was. He was thankful, first of all, that he didn't get shot. He said, I was thankful that I got out of that alive. I was thankful, he says, that I wasn't the one that had the gun and was robbing somebody else at gunpoint. And he just turned everything around. In other words, he turned a bad situation into good. And he says, it could have been worse. And, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse. There's always to be something to be thankful for. When I was in third grade, my teacher, Mrs. Lindgren, I think it was Mrs. Lindgren, because if it wasn't Mrs. Lindgren, it was Mrs. Lundgren. And we had both Lundgrens and Lindgrens in our town, all right? Mrs. Lindgren asked everyone in our schoolroom to say what we were thankful for, and we were going around, all little third graders, saying what they were thankful for. And when they got to me, I said, I'm just thankful that I'm not a turkey. Can I get a witness here this morning? No. In other words, there's always something to be thankful for. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen? I just read the other day, and I've read it a couple of times this week, I've read it in a couple of news accounts, that studies show that being thankful is actually beneficial to your health, to your well-being, to your longevity, and to your happiness. Do you know, just the sheer thing of just being thankful, in other words, finding something to be thankful for, it helps you to live a longer life with greater well-being, greater mental stability, and all of that. I saw this just the other day, and I think it's true. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. Can I get a witness here this morning? Read it with me. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. Man, I get up every day, and I get up one of two ways. Some days I get up and say, good morning, Lord. And the other, sometimes I get up and say, good Lord, it's morning. You know what I'm saying? And you have both of those, right? But I always go out to walk and pray. And I go out to walk and pray and say, thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful day. Look at the leaves on the trees. Man, they're just turning those beautiful colors right now. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord God, that your mercies are new every morning. Your faithfulness is great. Thank you, Lord God, that I can breathe this air. Thank you, Lord God, that I might have problems or mountains in my way, but you're greater than the mountains in my way. Thank you, Lord God, for all of that. And in California, thank you, Lord God, that I don't live in a sub-zero state like Minnesota. Can I get a witness? Amen. You delivered me from that cold weather. Thank you, Lord God. All right, it goes on and on and on. But just be thankful, all right? When Paul, we're in the book of Thessalonians this morning. We started out there, 1 Thessalonians. When Paul was writing, and he said, in everything give thanks, he was writing to a church that really needed encouragement because the Thessalonians, they were just getting started as a church, and they were under great persecution. And at that time, the believers, remember, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a New Testament like we do. They didn't have a Google, and they didn't have all of these high-tech advantages that we have today. They were basically working out their faith in real time. And I'm telling you what, when they became Christians, there was all kinds of persecution from the established church of that day persecuted them. And I'm talking about persecution even to death. So they many times got discouraged from persecution, tribulation, and afflictions. But I love what the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was kind of a heavyweight dude back then, you know, he writes a letter then with Silas and with Timothy, and he writes to this church. And he says, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, grace and peace to you. Grace means unmerited favor. Grace and peace to you. Say with me this morning, grace and peace to you. Now, that's just a great introduction to the, you know, to that church that was really hurting. That was just a nice way, because Paul was an encourager, and he knew that the church of the Thessalonica, they needed encouragement. How many of you know that every now and then we need encouragement? Amen? So, how many of you know that the power of your words, your words that you speak have great, great power, and you can bring encouragement to healing and healing to somebody else? I want you to just turn to your neighbor right now and just say, grace and peace to you. And this time, say it like you mean it, all right? Say, grace and peace to you. And now turn to your neighbor and say, thanks, I needed that. Can I get one? I just needed that. How many know that any kind of encouragement is encouraging? Can I get a witness? Amen? Now, let's look at how should I give thanks? How should I give thanks? Well, we sang about it in the song. It actually came up. Jesus, I love you, and I thanks for all that you've done for me. But thank people for who they are and what they've done. Thank them for who they are. Man, I just thank you for being a blessing to me, and thank you for all that you've done. So here's what Paul says in this letter to this hurting church at Thessalonica. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. How many of you know it makes a big deal when people know that you're praying for them, right? And so it's important to let people know that you are thankful for them and praying for them, because people need affirmation and they need prayer, both of those things. Next, so first of all, he thanks them for who they are and what they, and then he thanks them for what they've done, all right? So the next thing he does, he thanks them for what they've done. He says this, we remember before God our Father your work produced by faith, watch this, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He thanks them not only for who they are, but for what they've done. So always thank people for who they are and appreciate them for what they've done. Amen? Amen. In fact, I think I'm just thinking about this right now. I should do better at this. It's not, you know, I mean, when Barbara makes a good meal, I shouldn't just say, well, thank you, Lord, not thank you, Lord, thank you, Barbara, for the great meal, but I should also say, I really appreciate you just for who you are, and you're such a great cook. In other words, thank the person for who they are. You're a blessing to me, and I thank you for the great food that you just put out before us. Can I get a win? Barb, let's give me the amen right now. What are you doing, Barb? You're kind of shaking your finger at me. Doing what? Don't critique the meal. Oh, she says, don't critique the meal. I know, she's kind of right on that. The other day, she made beef stew, and she put stewed tomatoes in it. And I go like, okay, I like beef stew, but I just like potatoes and carrots. I don't want any stewed tomatoes in there. And then that kind of just negated the whole thing, like, oh, brother. So I had to, of course, I'm the only one guilty of this, aren't I? Can I get a witness? Amen. All right, now, the Apostle Paul makes three statements in this great verse that he just said. All right, when Paul comes to the end of the first letter of to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, now we started out in chapter 1, but when he gets to chapter 5, when he's writing this letter, right, he pens out one of the most powerful statements in all of his writings, the words that just literally leapt off the pages and into our hearts. He says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Say with me this morning, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's kind of break that down for a second. Three habits of thanksgiving this morning. Number one, rejoice always. Say with me this morning, rejoice always. Remember this about rejoicing. Rejoicing is a choice. In other words, to rejoice is a choice. But if you'll make the choice to rejoice, things will begin to turn around for the better in your life. In fact, it says it right here, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, you could have written a song about that, right? Remember that old song, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Most people remember that. But always rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Even when you don't feel like it, rejoice in the Lord. Paul and Silas, at one time, they were in prison together because of sharing their faith. And they were in that prison, and instead of just complaining and having a pity party, they began to sing songs of praise to the Lord. In fact, they might have sang, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, they might have sang that. Who knows? Maybe they didn't. But they sang hymns of praise to the Lord. And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. How many of you know that when you're happy, it affects other people around you as well? Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all of the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Watch this. God delivered Paul and Silas from prison. Their chains fell off, but not only their chains, but all of the other prisoners were set free as well. How do you know that when you get a breakthrough, other people around you get a breakthrough as well? If you're going to be joyful, that joyfulness spreads to everyone around you, and it affects them in a good way. So how do you know that you set the tone for your household? You set the tone for your life. You're always going to be critical and caustic. Guess what? You're going to get what comes with that. By the way, I was just reading the other day that the children of Israel, you know, because of their complaining, they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. What should have taken them 11 days took 40 years. The trip to get to the promised land was only 11 days, but because of their complaining, it took 40 years. How do you know that when we complain, it stops our forward progress? Can I get a witness? Amen? So make a choice to rejoice. Their chains fell off. Even the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And he and his household were saved. And I just want to say here this morning, when you get a break, when you make a choice to rejoice, not only will the chains be loosed in your life, but the chains will be loosed in the lives of others as well. So say with me this morning, rejoice always. All right, secondly here this morning, pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping, all right? Jesus told his disciples in a parable, he said that they should always pray and not give up. Say with me this morning, I'm going to keep on praying. I'm not going to give up. In fact, the Bible says, and we read it this morning, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, say with me, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you got a situation going on this morning? I'll bet you I'm batting about 80%, that 80% of us at least have a situation going on this morning. Some kind of situation going on in your life. And it says this, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Rejoice in the middle of that you're going through. And the Bible says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will rule in your hearts and your lives. Can I get a witness here this morning? I think I just lost a page of my notes. Don't say amen loud. Can I get a witness? There we go. All right. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now watch this. If you'll be a person of prayer, you'll become a person of God's peace and God's provision when you become a person of prayer. I just thank God that's true. Man, I'll tell you, we serve a faithful God. And I've found that when you pray, if you'll become a person of prayer, don't give up on praying. You're going to know God's peace, but you're also going to see God's provision as well. Thank you, Lord God. I just received last night every week as a pastor of a church, a large church, you have to stay ahead of things, make sure all the bills are paid and all of that. And there's great, great responsibility. But I received our financial report last night, and for the month of October, and we were way ahead on the month, thank God. Every bill was paid in full, every commitment made, and all of our missions giving, and not just missions giving, like, are we going to make missions? This week, we've got to just decide, Al, we've got to just decide this week what we're going to do, because we have an overflow right now, and God's blessed us in an overflow way, so we're going to be able to send out over $50,000 to missions in the next week or two, just in year-end giving. I'm really kind of being conservative. It's going to be between $50,000 and $100,000. But give the Lord a great hand clap for that. What I'm going to say is here this morning, I've been watching God do that over and over and over again for years and years and years, but what have we been doing? You pray, and you keep it before the Lord, and every situation you put in His hands. But if you'll be a person of prayer, you'll become a person of God's peace. Thank you, Lord God, for your peace, and God's provision in your life as well. And all of God's people said amen. The third thing here this morning is this: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Notice it doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. Say with me this morning, in everything give thanks. Why? Because we know that God has a plan for our lives, even when we're going through a great deal of pain. Let me see that again. We know that God has a plan for our lives, even when we're going through great pain. So I love what Paul said, and he'd been a person that lived through the best of times and the worst of times. Let me ask you here this morning, how many of you lived through the best of times? I have. How many of you have been through some tough times as well? I have. How many know we have good times and bad times in life, right? But Paul said this, and man, he could be in prison one day and in a palace the next day, but he'd say this: and we know that all things, the good and the bad, work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. So I want you to say it with me this morning: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, now, my favorite story, I just put it in my notes here. Like, you got time for this? Let me just see if you got time for it at the end. How many give me 3 more minutes to finish up here with my message, all right? This is my favorite Thanksgiving story, it really is. And I share it probably every year at this time. I just cue this one up because I love it. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, Jesus cleanses the 10 lepers. Man, I'll tell you what, leprosy is not a big deal until you got leprosy. A skin disease isn't a big deal until you got a skin disease. But I'll tell you what, if you have a skin disease and need to be cleansed, and I'm talking about leprosy was more than a skin disease, it would eat away your hands and your feet. It was a terrible, terrible plight. And Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers. And look at verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Many of you were just there, between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance because they were required to stand at a distance. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Say with me this morning, have pity on us. And they cried out to Jesus. And when he saw them, he said, I want you to go show yourselves to the priest. And so that didn't make any sense. Just go show yourselves. They hadn't been healed yet. But as they went, they were cleansed. How many of you know that you just obey Jesus no matter what he says? Just obey him even when it doesn't make sense. But as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, say it with me this morning, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. And you can imagine, if you had leprosy and came back with clean skin, you'd just go, all of a sudden you saw that I'm clean now. How many of you know that that would make, I don't care what your persuasion is, you'd have been jumping and hopping up. You wouldn't have cared anything. Praise God. I don't have to go to Kaiser today. I'm going to go to Jesus today. Can I go to him and say, man, I don't have to go back for more medication. I've been healed. You'd be just dancing. One of them, but only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he what? He thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan. They called them half-breeds back in the day because they intermarried outside of the pure Jewish faith. And Jesus asked, we're not 10 cleansed? I thought we could just heal 10. We're not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Only one came back. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Let me just say this morning. It's easy to see from this story how much being thankful matters to Jesus. Man, I thank God for everything. The little things and the big things. When I'm blessed in a big way, I thank God. When I'm blessed in a little way, I thank God. Man, there could be someone that helped me out in a big way, or I got blessed in a big way, and I go, thank you, Lord God, that was great. But I'll tell you what, I thank God when I get a bag of Cheetos. Can I get a witness, amen? I do. And I thank God when somebody gives me a 1-pound box of sees the coupon to choose my own chocolates. I thank God for that. I thank God for saltine crackers and Campbell's tomato soup on the right day because it's just better than anything you could eat. Man, I'll tell you what, I had a tuna fish sandwich last night on a piece of wheat bread, and it was just as good as a steak, if I had a, you know what I'm saying, because it's just what I needed right at that time. And I thank God for the little things and the big things. Man, if you grew up poor, you knew how to thank God for everything. Never take for granted all of the blessings that we have today. Oh, my goodness. Most of you are living the standard of living that you ever grew up in, and just give thanks to God for all of it. All the little things and the big things. Praise God. When I go to Apple Hill, and I haven't done that this year, but, you know, I'll thank God for that apple fritter. Can I get a witness? Amen. But I mean, or just an apple off a tree or whatever it is. The little things and the big things, always give thanks to God. Are you hearing me this morning? And so we can all identify with the 10 lepers because all of us have had something in our lives changed or cleansed or made better because we crossed paths with Jesus. Little things are big things. Some people say, well, I just got a card in the mail, and that's no big deal. Let me tell you, and you've heard me say this before. If somebody sent you a card, and all they sent you was a card with a little note in it, first of all, they had to think of you. How many know it's nice to be thought of? Then they had to find a card for you. How many of you know they had to find a card for you? Then they had to write the card out. They had to find a right card. Then they had to write it out. Then they had to mail it to you, and they didn't have your address, so they found the address. Maybe about 5 transactions went on just to get that one note to you. And then we go, well, it was just a little, no, that was more than a little card. I thank God for the little cards I get. Can I get a witness? Amen. All the little things. I remember George Wood, who's our superintendent of the Assemblies of God right up until this year now. He just retired, but he, Dr. George Wood, I mean, he's over a fellowship of 65 million people. No, is it higher than that? It's at least 65 million people around the world. So, you know, busy. And I remember one time just I sent him, I think, a $5 Starbucks card that we had from Harvest Church in a note that I sent back. You know, 3 days later, I get a note handwritten from him for a $5 Starbucks card. And this guy's speaking all over the world and has great responsibility, but he always said thank you. Man, that just spoke to my heart. How many know, be thankful for the big things and be thankful for the little things. Can I get a witness? Amen. And a lot, remember this also, sometimes we get so caught up in what's going in our lives. Man, I'll tell you, every time that I see, I'll be walking down the street sometimes and I'll see somebody who I just know has it way worse than I, and then I'm the one that's kind of like feeling so blue. And I realize that that person would trade places with me in a New York minute for all of my problems. They would trade me, their lives for my life because I'm so blessed. Can I get a witness here this morning? So always just remember, I mean, when I'm saying, you're getting the bottom line here, always be thankful. Can I get a witness here this morning? So say it with me, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Amen. And Markel, hey everybody. Just for a second here this morning, those 10 lepers went away, and I won't have time this morning for 10, but I got time for 5 testimonies. If God has blessed your life in a special way, and you say, man, I'd just like to give God thanks for how he's blessed my life, I'd like 5 people just to come up here from our audience right now, from our gathering this morning, just to join me on the platform real quickly just to give thanks, all right? Would you do that right now? 5 people that say, I just want to give the Lord thanks. Would you do that right now? All right. Real quickly. I can only take 5. So we've got 1, we got 2. Come on up here if you can. All right. Oh, this will be easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 more. Come on very quickly. Thank you, Lord. Just come on up here. All right. Tell everyone what your name is and what you're thankful for, and you got less than a minute, all right?
Well, thankful for Pastor Perry. I'm glad to be here. I told Pastor Justin. I'm glad I didn't get hit by that hurricane. I'm from Houston, Texas, so I'm glad I'm here. God had me where he wanted me to be at. So that's my testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. Your name and what you're thankful for?
Mark Angija, and I'm thankful for our friends Brad and Val introducing us to this church about a year and a half ago, and I feel blessed that I'm walking.
Amen. You just had surgery and you're walking. All right. Lucius.
Good morning, church. Wow. Many of you know that our family's been hit with major, major storms, my wife's health, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for many of you who have stepped in, blessed our family. Well, this week we found out the military has sent our son home to be with us. Thank God. I'm very thankful for the Lord. Even in this storm, God has shown his kindness and goodness to our family. Thank you.
Amen. That right there is just a picture of what we just talked about this morning. In everything, give thanks. Man, that's easy to say, quite a bit harder to live it out. And Lucius and Valerie just lived that out in a great way. Valerie was diagnosed with cancer and is holding on to the Lord for her hope. But it's been a tough, tough go. And here Lucius comes up just to say how thankful he is. How many of that just illustrated the whole message better than I ever could? Can I get a witness? Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes, your name and what you're thankful for.
My name is Georgia Diane, and I am thankful. A while back, you had asked somebody about being thankful about something anyway. But I'm thankful because the Lord blessed me in my life coming up. My mother died. We lost our mother at a very young age. We had a lot of trouble, and I had a lot of rapes and incest and stuff in my life. And the Lord put in my heart to write my book. I was man's trash. But what I'm thankful for, on the other side of that book, it says, I was man's trash, but now I'm in the King's treasure. Amen. And I am thankful because God delivered me from that past life. He's blessing me to help other people that have gone through those type of things. And I am in the treasure, the King's treasure now.
Amen. Tell everyone your name and what you're thankful for.
That's awesome.
My name is Sophie Trasher. I'm thankful today just to be here. I'm thankful to be able to look back over my life so that I can make a difference today. Growing up, my mother was one of 21 children. I'm one of nine. I was sharing with my grandsons this week that looking back, there were 11 people in my house growing up, and we had one bathroom.
Wow.
I'm thankful for that one bathroom. And I'm also thankful that my grandsons are going to be cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
All right.
And they're 17 and 14, so God bless them.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Yeah, I know. The cost of these Thanksgiving meals nowadays, you're just better off going to Mimi's, I think. I don't know, but no, it always tastes better at home. Can I get a witness? It's always better at home. Stand with me all across the auditorium this morning. Man, I'll tell you what, loud and clear, the Word of God has come through. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's give the Lord the best hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.